Poison Rana.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it these days as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next, PostWrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and we're live.
Eventually, yes, we are. Yeah. YouTube.com/PostWrestling. Hello, YouTube room. Thank you for your patience.
Yes, right as we were clicking about to go live, Davey's MacBook just...
So first, NXT decided to do this
weird
long
angle
overrun
that we're definitely
and then
get
this
into.
This strange angle to end the show, and then my computer's not picking up anything, the camera, the microphone,
then it wouldn't turn
so
on.
So I thought, okay, I'll just do the safe thing, you know, reset it.
Have you tried turning it on and off again?
Exactly, and then it just completely crapped out for a good 10 minutes. So
we put up the bat signal to Wei Ting, like, hey, is there anything you can do? He's like, I got a link, and we're like, wait. And your laptop came back to life.
Yeah, because otherwise I'd be reading my notes like this on my phone, and I'll get all the comments being like, why? Yeah. Why is he on his phone all the show?
Yeah, so I learned my lesson on the post feed about 2 or 3 years ago when I decided, oh, I won't bring my computer, I'll bring my phone. And then like 3 different people were like, look at this jackass. He's just texting during the show. I was like, no, I was reading what my worst match of the year was, guys. Come on, please.
We also look a bit like ghosts right now.
Are we?
We've got a new camera, but we haven't quite figured out the settings yet. So apologies for... We both look like Seamus right now, just glowing.
Yeah, we're pretty white to begin with. Yeah. But I'm rocking a Lizzo sweater. Shout out Brandon from New Jersey.
All right.
He's probably the biggest Lizzo fan I know, so I wore this for him here tonight.
Sami Zayn.
Nice. So we're here to talk about some NXT, and we've hit a roadblock here tonight, and we're going to dive into everything that's going on the now clear road to Stand and Deliver. That's...
Yes, we've got... Or is it?
There could be a fork
final,
in the road.
Final angle at the end of the show with Roxanne.
Yeah.
Who knows if that's the destination.
Who knows if she'll stand and deliver.
Exactly. But we do have our men's main event in place now.
Yeah.
And we've got the Grayson Waller match.
Absolutely.
As well. So, yeah, that card's coming together, looking pretty good so far.
Yeah, real fun time to be a wrestling fan. I mean, this year going into WrestleMania, it definitely feels like WrestleMania season, like with all different things going on. Obviously, Cody, Roman being like the first big main event in like so long. But then like NXT's got the Stand and Deliver show. The Saturday is going to be a long day. Obviously, we're going to be doing a Stand and Deliver post show. But if you've been listening, we're also, if you're in the Toronto area, hosting a WrestleMania 2-night watch party.
We are.
So, of course, WWE goes, hey, why don't we put another show during the day? You guys wouldn't need time to go set up or anything like that. So we're not quite sure because it's at 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
That means it ends at like 3 to 4.
Yeah. And we'll go up right away.
Yeah.
So we'll be done, hopefully, by like 5:30.
We're going to fly through this show, hopefully.
I think we're going to have to edit at Gabby's.
Right, yeah.
I think.
Or you go ahead and I just stay.
Exactly.
Quickly do it.
But it's going to happen. We're going to do it. We're going to stand and deliver.
We will stand and deliver. Unless your MacBook dies out again.
Yeah.
No, hopefully it won't. But,
oh, God.
We will be covering that show. So looking forward to that. We will be here on the Post Wrestling feed on April 1st. And we're excited. So
go to poisonrana.ca to get your tickets if you are in the Toronto area and want to come and watch either night or both nights of WrestleMania with us. We do have a little combo deal if you want to get a ticket for like both nights. It saves you a few bucks. But yeah, get them before they don't leave it to the last minute.
Yeah.
Because we might have to turn you away and we don't want to turn people away.
Yeah, we've had some crazy fun parties here in the six when it comes to wrestling and all these wrestling parties and post parties, karaoke, all that stuff. So 2 nights downtown Toronto for both nights of WrestleMania. It's going to be a lot of fun, and maybe some people from the post-wrestling universe as well showing up. But we have replica titles and prizes that you won't believe that we have given away. So can't wait for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. I would suggest, I know we're on the post feed, but check out our Poison Rana podcast feed, because me and Davey just did a show yesterday recapping the week that was, including AEW Revolution.
Oh, yeah.
All our thoughts on the Iron Man match, plus the House of Black Trios match.
Plus throwing drinks in children's faces.
We get, you know how I feel about kids, so we get into it. So that's on our Poison Rana feed. On that feed, go hit that subscribe button. Also on YouTube, all those apps. Because we have a lot of fun shows every week.
Well, we'll be back to our regular time with Poison Rana of 2 p.m. this Sunday,
yes.
Where I'm sure we'll pretty much be spending the whole like 90 minutes dissecting Vince McMahon's mustache.
Yeah, or lack thereof. Possible.
Oh, is what? It's maybe not a real...
Yeah, I don't think
it's a fake story.
Yeah, yeah, it was fake news, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, no chance in hell. No, he's got a playoff beard.
Oh, is that what it
no,
is?
No, it didn't look like he had anything. Just people, you know, people are good with Photoshop these days. We'll be chatting all about everything on Sunday on that feed as well. But we have a lot of free shows. Shot in the Dark with John Cena, where he covers all the other wrestling that you may or may not watch. He is a completist, so he watches everything, including Ring of Honor, that you may or may not have checked out. He cherry-picks stuff for you in 15 minutes or less as well. He also is going to be having a show out this week with B Detroit. That show is called What Up, Doe? And I highly recommend it. It's become my favorite podcast. And I'm not just saying that because it's on our own feed, but B Detroit and John Cena have some great chemistry. They chop it up about like hip hop, video games, wrestling, all fun stuff. So they'll be out with another free one this week. But you want more podcasts?
Think a lot of Last of Us talk.
I just watched
the end of the first season.
I just caught up today, actually. So.
Yeah, I need to catch up after this.
You want to hear more podcasts though, Poison Rana. .ca for the links of everything, including our Patreon, because not only did we do a Lord of the Rings movie, but we're up in the ante and we're reviewing Tango and Cash.
Yeah. What's this? This is Stallone
and Kurt Russell. What more could you
Terry
ask?
Terry Hatcher.
This movie already sounds like
the
greatest movie.
I'm going to watch this tomorrow morning before we record later with Greg.
Yeah, Greg's a world champ fan member at our Patreon, and he selected this movie to pick, and we don't say no. So we're reviewing it and chatting all about it. Maybe it pulls the strings at someone out there who knows what this movie is.
I'm more excited about this than I am next week. We're covering WrestleMania 11, which I don't know if I've ever seen this WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's never been talked about by anyone on post.
Good.
So... we've got that. We're going to be doing that with John Cena and then wrapping up the month with WrestleMania 19.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff over on the Patreon. But all the podcasts for you out there, go check us out. And hey, if you like us, if you're a Spotify user, give the nice 5-star heart-like option. And if you're Apple Podcasts, write us a nice little review if you do.
And shout out the live chat right now, because the cat has sent us a super chat.
Hey, the cat.
$5.
The
Stacey,
cat?
Stacey Carter?
I hope so, yeah.
Saying, I'm... Or Ernest.
Right, yeah, most likely. It's probably that.
Says, I'm excited for Stand and Deliver. I'll be going to that show, and hopefully Dragon Lee debuts, and Gigi gets a rematch with JC. Yeah, I still think we're getting Lee versus Lee for that North
Lee
American
versus Lee
title.
Looks like it, yeah, absolutely. And thanks for the super chat.
Thank you very much.
We'll definitely get it. I think we have the card for Stand and Deliver pretty much in the bag by the end of tonight, for sure. So we'll be jumping into some NXT. Those were the plugs for all the other podcasts. We do a lot of other podcasts, and we're doing a lot of live shows as well. I gotta quickly plug the Awesome Toy Show. Go to awesometoyshow.ca. Sunday, March 26th, we will be there, and not only will we be there, we'll be hosting a WWE 2K23 tournament. And well, Davey just was like, hey, what if we, you know, had some 2K going? Turns out the new game comes out like next week or something like that. Turns out they liked that idea. Turns out there's now a really big prize and a chance for the winner to go to WrestleMania from a 2K tournament that we're hosting.
I better order this game.
We better get this
and
game.
And maybe new controllers as well, to be honest.
So
bring your own controller, guys, if you're going to the Awesome Toy Show.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Anyone who likes like toys, memorabilia, all that stuff, there's like toys of galore, Ninja Turtles, which is super hot again, thankfully, seeing all the, like, the memorabilia stuff. There's a whole wrestling section. Chris Van Vliet's going to be there. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some wrestlers from Impact as well. We're super stoked.
Miguel, I believe.
Yeah, we're super excited. So again, Toronto area, we got a lot of appearances in the next little while. So we're having fun.
We are having fun.
I mentioned on Poison Rana the other night that I was at a WWE show this week. I didn't go to Montreal, but I closed my eyes and pretended I was at the Coca-Cola Coliseum on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Watched Roman Reigns beat Sami Zayn. I thought he had it for sure. I knew he slipped up in Montreal, but I thought for sure
he was going to get it.
That
done.
Was going to be it, but unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But
we're not getting Cody and Sammy.
Yeah, that would be pretty good, though.
That would be good.
They'll go back to that.
I think you could do that SummerSlam or something. Maybe.
Yeah, when Cody's heel, which he said he'll never ever do, when he does become heel after he goes insane from not beating Roman at WrestleMania, he'll have that match with Sammy. But no, I had a lot of fun at that show, and it got me like kind of. Again, hyped for like WrestleMania, and that's what these kind of like these tours are. But it also got me hyped for the possibility of McIntyre and Gunther, which like they teased at this thing. They were supposed to be that match, and then it turned into a six man or something. And they had a moment where they were going at it, and I was like, "Yes, please, more of this."
Yeah, we've got on SmackDown this week the 5-way to determine Gunther's opponent. I still wonder if you're going to get Sheamus involved somehow. You could maybe do like night one, Drew v. Sheamus, and the winner faces Gunther.
Wow, okay. Yeah, because
like
you want to see all these guys face.
Yeah,
right?
but a three-way never really is as fun.
Three-way, two out of three falls.
All right.
Something ridiculous.
But yeah, no, I'm intrigued to see that. Yeah, it's pretty cool. First time Roman's been in the city for years.
In Toronto for years, right? House shows for years as well. So yeah, it was quite a fun time, and people are excited. It was packed house as well, just as packed as the AEW shows that when they were here. But I had a better time at this than I did that Rampage. So
never letting it go. Well, I was hurting a little today.
Okay,
because I was trying out some drinks for our WrestleMania party.
Right.
Tell you what, the Samoan Spike.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Oh.
Pretty good.
You gotta, we'll have the menu drop beforehand, as we always have. So,
like when they tease the set at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we've done that. Yeah. And people have been like, oh shit. And then those guys will come out and order every single one on the menu and then not remember anything.
Exactly.
During the show. Yeah. So yeah, those are the kind of parties that we enjoy having. Yeah, I was hurting after Revolution, with our listener Emil from Denmark. And, was it Bride Jen gave us a bottle of Henny, and that Henny quickly disappeared. Mm. And man, I don't think I'm ever drinking again. So until the WrestleMania part. Oh, we're going out after. Yeah. Sorry. No, we're not. I guess we can jump into some.
Let's do it. Yeah. Pretty NXT. Big show this week. NXT Roadblock 2023 live from the Capital Wrestling Center on March 7th, 2023.
Yeah.
This is like one of their TV specials, like branded specials, the last stop before Stand and Deliver. And as you said, we kind of get a sense of where we're going by the end of the show. I like they always start these specials with like one of the NXT talent who's maybe not on the show kind of previewing everything. We've seen Pretty Deadly do it before. We've seen like Briggs and Jensen with their parties and that kind of thing. And here it was Tiffany Stratton. And she says, I'm ready. I'm having a Tiffany Epiphany Roadblock edition. It's 25 days until Stand and Deliver. She runs down the entire card and she says she'll see the winner in LA. So she's kind of putting herself in the, she hinted at it last week, but also kind of saying, I am facing the winner at Stand and Deliver.
What did she ever win to get this?
I know.
She just came back, won a few matches, and like, I'm the next contender.
Yeah, she's just saying, and no one's really arguing with
her. I mean, yeah, there really isn't. Who's going to argue? The Bird Lady?
Streamer? The Bird Lady later kind of says she's looking at the winner as well.
Yeah.
So
I have thoughts about our women's title match at that pay-per-view, but I don't know if it does involve Tiffany, but I liked seeing her here to set up the show.
So we open with the Jailhouse Street Fight.
Jailhouse Rock.
And this is where it's Tony D'Angelo versus Dijak. And to win the match, you've got to incapacitate your opponent and lock them in a jail cell.
Okay, I was NXT was starting, and I was cooking us some dinner, and they said the rules. And I went, what? And you said, what? That's the rules of this. And I was like, oh, so They literally have to put the guy inside this thing.
Yeah.
So in the span of like, what, 2 days, 3 days, I've watched a guy bury a guy in a grave.
And now lock him in
a
cell.
And now this match is someone locking in a cell. Wrestling's great.
So Vic Joseph had a really weird line at the beginning. And I'd love someone to write in and kind of maybe if you know any more, because I did a bit of digging. Vic says, this is the first time in 3 decades we've seen a jailhouse street fight. So I took that as, okay, so 30 years ago that they had one of these matches.
Yeah.
Couldn't find anything about this. They trademarked this title like just a month or so ago.
Okay.
So then I'm thinking, well, does he mean this is the first time in the 3 decades of NXT that there's been this? And we're like, wait, well, NXT isn't 3 decades old. It started in, what, 2012?
Yeah.
So that can't be right. And then I'm thinking, well, WWE as a whole is older than 3 decades. So what the fuck's he going on about?
So what was the match? Maybe there was a match.
Was there a match?
Best match ever, Jailhouse Rock cell match.
Yeah.
What is it?
A jailhouse street fight. So yeah, I need to reach out to Vic Joseph because he had me very puzzled.
Like you'd imagine, he later makes him and Booker are making big boss man jokes during this match because the jail cell and stuff. And I'm like, okay, maybe there was one of these matches with him, but
it was a kennel in a cell match.
Yeah, that was
fantastic.
5 stars, absolutely.
So we get into the match, and Tony and Dijak are fighting right by the door pretty early. They're fighting over a nightstick. Back in the ring, a load of chairs get placed down and Dijak hits the High Justice, the sit out choke slam onto the chair. And then they're fighting on the top rope and it looks like they're attempting like a superplex. And Tony counters it into this like German, almost flipping Dijak off the top rope, landing belly first onto all the chairs. Pretty impressive here.
Fire Frank in the chat, and who would know better about wrestling trivia than Fire Frank, the current reigning defending BDE trivia champion. I mean, this guy knows everything. Letting us know that Big Boss Man fought the Mountie at SummerSlam 1991 in a jailhouse match where the loser had to spend a night in jail. How could I forget?
So is that what
he was
talking about? Yeah, all right.
30 years ago.
But with different rules.
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
I'll take it. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Vic.
That's why you're our champ.
Yeah, that's why you are the champ.
So, yeah, there was this crazy avalanche German to Dijak from Tony. And then Dijak comes back and hits a springboard elbow through a table on the floor, which got the holy shit chance going. Tony then starts attacking the finger of Dijak. If you remember in the match against Wes Lee, he dislocated his finger.
Yeah, and he's already wrestling back. Like, that finger looked busted.
Yeah.
His hand went one way, the finger went the other, and he's already wrestling. I buy that this guy. I hope it was not the same finger that he's selling.
It was all bandaged up. Yeah. It did look weird. So Tony's attacking the finger and hits a back, his back suplex into the uranage on the floor. And then Dijak grabs Stax, who's there, and pulls him into the cell and is basically saying, if you slam that door, I'm going to beat Stax up in this cell and there's nothing you can do. So Tony's conflicted and he's like, no, I got to save Stax. So he saves Stax and Dijak kicks the door into his face. He then hits his cyclone boot to Stax, sending him into the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Sold really nicely here. This fires up Tony, who starts beating up on Dijak. Hits a German on the floor, starts beating him with the chair. Dijak comes back with a low blow and hits the Feast Your Eyes on the floor. This is all by this jail cell. And then Dijak drags Tony into the cell. And just as he's slamming the door, Stax dives in, making the save, sacrificing himself, getting slammed by this jailhouse door. And we notice he's left something behind, a crowbar. So Dijak hits the Feast Your Eyes on Stax. D'Angelo comes out of nowhere with the crowbar, beats the fuck out of Dijak, and then throws him into the jailhouse and slams the door shut, winning the jailhouse street fight.
Yeah, some callbacks there with him and the crowbar. That was Tony's thing for a while there. But yeah, some good old fashion mafia camaraderie and friendship here. Like, no, I'm not letting you beat up my friend, and therefore the friend then makes the save for him.
It was quite fun, like that save.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, you know, in a tag match where you make that save, breaking up the pin, but diving in front of this cell house Jailhouse
Rock?
Door.
Look, everybody in the whole cell block was jamming to this Jailhouse bunk match thing. It was a fun, you know what, it was a fun little showing. I think it is silly because, like, we've been joking and calling Dijak Big Boss Man, so that's why they went to this. Like, now it all kind of makes sense. I do think he yet again needs a reset button. Like, he needs to cool off TV for a while, come back, lose the shades, lose the boss man. Like, just be a wrestler, and I swear you'll actually get over. But maybe this is it. Does he have to spend a night in jail now?
But I think now he's had his match against Wes Lee was very good. And exactly. I actually thought this was pretty enjoyable.
Yeah,
considering
it was.
Like these you know, ambulance matches, coffin matches, jailhouse matches.
Yeah.
They're not for me. I don't really get into the drama of slamming a door shut on someone. But I thought they did some pretty fun stuff, like that elbow through the table was pretty cool.
Why is that such a thing in wrestling? Like the last ride match. There's so many of these.
Hey,
you got to put him in something else. Like, what is that?
And I like what they're building up with Stax and Tony. It's going to be heartbreaking when one of them turns on the other.
Yeah.
But I thought this was a good choice to open the show and was pretty fun.
Yeah, I agree.
We see Roxanne Perez backstage saying that she's anxious. She's been busting her ass for the last 6 months after losing to Mako the first time. And I've been using every resource the Performance Center has to offer. I've done everything I can do. And this isn't my first defense, but it is my biggest. And I need to walk into Stand and Deliver as the champion. Not many people can claim that they have a win over Mako. So beating Mako will be as big a moment for me as winning the title. I'm anxious, but I'm ready. And I'll do anything I can to keep this title.
A solid promo from Roxanne. She's definitely coming into her own as this champion. So, and it got me hyped for the match.
Yeah, she's just very natural and likable, I think. I don't know how long that can last before you like feel that there needs to be some sort of evolution. But right now, I think it's great. And I think she's fantastic. We see Josh Briggs, who checks out Kiana James's new office.
Whoa.
And he's like, wow. This is great. And she's like, yep, you know, all my business things has been going well.
Business has been great. I mean, she's champion.
She is.
So, like, you know.
More money.
So maybe that makes sense.
Briggs says that Fallon and Brooks mean the world to him, and their happiness is my happiness. And Brooks hasn't been the same since Valentine's Day. And then notices these roses on the desk. And he's like, oh, and look, like, Brooks is, like, getting you nice roses and things. And she goes, oh, yeah, Brooks, and kind of takes the card away and hides it in her business diary.
Little black book, eh?
Yeah. And then Briggs is saying, look, Kiana, like, Brooks is so into you. He'd get hit by a bus to help you cross the road. And he's just been a bit distracted. And she goes, yeah, well, unfortunately, I've been a bit busy. I've had some new acquisitions that have been taking my time. But you know what? You're right. I'm going to make it up to Brooks, and we'll have a makeup date tonight.
Nice. Okay. Mm. So, I mean, we're seeing some mixed things here because we thought she was on the phone with someone saying, I love you. But that was just Zach.
That was just
Zach. Her brother, Zach, who we saw. And then now there's flowers that suspiciously she moves the card.
She's spending more time in the office, you know?
Yeah, we all heard that one before.
I can't come back tonight, honey. I'm in the office. I've got to do late business acquisitions.
Exactly.
You know?
And I mean, I don't want to say I'm no journalist, but Brooks should just click Kiana James' Instagram account where it has her actual husband, Zach, listed on her. I mean, no, I didn't see that on her Instagram. Brooks wouldn't see that, such a thing. No, I think the reveal is that, yeah, actually, I'm sorry. I'm married to this guy named Zach. I've been stringing you along. You helped me win titles since I won a championship. Now I don't need the tag titles. Now I'll go after the women's world title. Like, I think she's eventually going to ditch.
So wait,
these
is her
guys.
Actual husband called Zach?
Yeah.
Oh, and was it that?
No. Zach? What do you think? Was it that guy?
All right. Now I'm looking at her Instagram. No, I could.
Yeah, we have detectives. BSK detectives are always out there.
Okay. Oh yeah. This is. No, that just says family. So is that?
There's nothing
that's
more
her brother
important.
Zach. Is
it? That's her actual brother, Zach. No.
But now Briggs kind of being suspicious. I mean, how can you really play off flowers that aren't from Brooke? Like, you'd either be like, oh, no, these are like innocent. Oh yeah, my grandma sent me these or whatever.
Yeah.
Then why would you hide the card?
Yeah, she did that to herself.
Yeah.
She just should have went, yeah. I mean, she did go, yeah, he sent me those. Sure. Mm. Yeah, but damn.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely taken.
Sorry, Brooks.
And it seems like some of the rest of the universe seems to know.
We need to finish. No. Let's put that back in the box. Let's keep that out. Let's pretend that we never found this, and let's just hope for the best that her and Brooks are going to stay and fall in love.
You know, Brooks's happiness is my happiness.
Yeah, exactly. So. And your happiness is my happiness. So, like, we just gotta let this cool off, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, I swear there's movies, like, where, like, the guy where, like, the friend finds out his wife's cheating on him, so he wants to, like, let his friend know, but then it's, like, the dilemma, where it's, like, do I tell my friend that his wife is cheating on him? It's, like, yeah, you absolutely do. Like, if it's your friend, like, you know?
Mm.
So, I don't know, I hope. I think there's
The Descendants? That's a good film.
George
Clooney's wife is dying, but he realizes she's been having an affair. So he's like, I kind of owe it to this guy to tell him. But also you've been, like, she's been cheating on me for the best part of the year.
Wow. Yeah, I have seen that movie.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's good. Oscar winner.
Oscars. He won for it,
good
right?
Look at that.
Yeah. What other films do you like?
I love this storyline, and considering where we were with these guys, like, all the way back, everyone, right? Like, it's just like, okay, everything's kind of funny and working, and the wrestling has been way better involved.
They're a really fun act.
Exactly. So it is interesting as a storyline. I'm just now wondering, like, are we getting some sort of big resolution at Stand and Deliver? Like, I assume whether it's the women's tag match is where something happens there, or is this still a story that goes on?
This could go on for a long time.
Like, Briggs, I thought for a second Briggs and G were going to have a moment, and then, like, you start going on double dates.
Yeah.
But yeah, the story continues later in this episode.
And somehow it's going to end with Cody Rhodes winning the
finish
title.
The story. He's got to kiss Keanu.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes gets Keanu at the end of all this.
Yeah, sure.
Just because that's what's
no,
happening.
She's married.
Yeah. To Zach. Gallus are in the ring, and they say that it's one thing to talk tough when you're all alone, but it's a different thing when you're in front of the Gallus boys. So tells Elton Prince and Kit Wilson that there's a receipt coming for those English Egits, so come and get it. And Pretty Deadly's music hits. And they appear on the perch, and they see, here we are, the English chap standing up tall, so the Scottish can look up to us like it's always been. And we can see your sweaty, greasy faces from here. And Wolfgang just asks, what do we have to do to get you in this ring? Pretty Deadly say, well, we want those championships. They were stolen from us months ago as we were on the precipice of greatness, and you came here and ruined our lives. And Gallus came to fight every team. Gallus say they're here to fight every team, whether it's in the ring, in the bar, in the streets. They lay down the titles and say, well, come get them. So Pretty Deadly go to the ring, and then Gallus start to beat them up, and it's a bit of a pull apart. They, like, leave Pretty Deadly laying.
So is this our Stand and Deliver match?
I assume so.
Or do we get the Diamond Lads involved somehow, some way? There's still a few weeks, still a month.
I feel like this... Yeah, you could put the Creeds in there as well.
Possibly.
It seems more like they're building to a one-on-one.
Yeah, just because this
which
segment
doesn't really interest me, these two teams.
No, like, look, both coming from NXT UK, it's kind of hard to just put these two teams here. I'd say Pretty Deadly had a better run since being here simply because their characters have gotten over. Mm. Their matches haven't, like, necessarily hit as, like, NXT tag team champion level matches usually go, but their characters are over with the crowd, and, like,
who are the heels here?
Yeah, that's the issue. I'm like, okay, so Gallus won as heels, but now all of a sudden, because they like to drink in bars and talk about how they'll fight anyone, that means they're instantly the baby faces. It's just a little weird that all of a sudden they're like, oh, what do we have to do to challenge you? So it's just, it feels a little backwards.
It feels all backwards. Pretty Deadly, for me, seem to almost be the baby faces in this, but just because they're entertaining and more likable. But then they're still doing the chicken shit thing. They're being beaten up. So they're definitely heels. Gallus, I don't know, they're just bland.
Right now, they don't have much.
I don't understand.
What... Yeah, something's not clicking over. Like, if anything, you should just have these guys having open challenges. If you're trying to get them to be, I know you're doing it with Wes, but like, if you're trying to get them over as like these dominant baby faces, yeah, have them beat some teams. Like, that's what NXT used to do every week with their champions. Look back to like the Ascension, right? Like, just have them beat people. And then be like, look, we're undefeated. Like, instead, we're not even having them defend a lot of the time. So it is a little bit odd.
Yeah, and I think they need to make it a lot clearer if they are baby faces in this. Because a heel versus heel team
bizarre.
These two, it's just, yeah, very odd. But you're right. You could include the Creeds and...
I hope so.
Another team in there.
Because, like, the interest of Gallus versus Creeds just one-on-one sounds a lot good, but then it's like, yeah, pretty deadly. But it seems like right now it's just two-on-two.
Yeah.
So. But we should mention the funny story about one of our favorite bartenders in Toronto. We'll call her H for the show. We go to a specific bar most of the time on Wednesday nights sometimes, and there's karaoke, and we've become kind of friends with this Scottish bartender, and we've talked about Burns Nights. She told us about Scottish things. And then she asked about our podcast, and we mentioned we talked about pro wrestling. And I said, what do you know about any Scottish pro wrestling? And she said, oh, I know about a lot about Scottish pro wrestling. Pure Gallus. And we just were deer in the headlights, like, sorry? So small world, one of our favorite bartenders.
Friends with Joe Coffee?
I can't remember which
specific. Yeah, it's specific, one who's not on at the moment.
But she knew exactly who they were and said, oh, that's pure Gallus, eh? So now I love saying, now I understand what Gallus means, because an actual Scots person told me what it means, and I think that's pretty cool how they got their name, actually.
It was pretty funny because she was like saying about, she's watched them a bunch in like ICW and stuff.
Yeah.
And was like, went to school with Joe, and she was like, it was weird because he was pretty quiet at school, but then just started getting like jacked and stuff. And we're like, oh yeah, that's so cool. That's so cool. We kind of shit on them a lot. We couldn't
bless
lie.
Them. I love them. I love them in ICW as well, but maybe they'll come around. You know what?
Yeah,
I do.
Their mate Barry, who's Wolfgang.
Shout out Gallus. It's pure Gallus, and I love it. So shout out all the Scottish people around the world. Till next Burns Night. We have a long time to prepare, but shout out Gallus. And you know what? Maybe the match will be pretty fun. I think Pretty Deadly should just be the baby faces in this.
I think so.
Pure Gallus.
We get a video from Lyra Valkyria, who says she didn't come to NXT to seek information. She came to seek a fight, and she's coming for the NXT Women's Championship. She says that Mako, they've had encounters before in NXT UK, but Roxanne is someone fresh for her she'd love to face. And whoever the NXT champion is, the crow flies straight to the top. So she seems to be calling out the winner as well.
Okay, so...
The crow always flies to the top.
The crow always rises to the top. Ooh, yeah! Is that what she said?
I think she said the crow always flies to the top.
Wow.
But
bless her. The bird lady.
Some of these promos are hard to...
We got...
I've got a witch one coming up.
We got witch ladies. We got the bird lady from Home Alone 2. We got Legally Blonde from that movie. There's the women's divisions all over the place here in NXT. Yeah. I love it.
So do you think we'll get like a Lyra v. Tiffany match like next week or in 2 weeks to decide the opponent? But again, with this angle at the end, like it makes you wonder what they're going to do.
Yeah, a multi-person Roxanne match. I'm not sure, but yeah.
So we then see the Creed brothers make their entrance with Bron Breakker, all in matching blue singlets.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. Okay, so obviously Bron Breakker being the NXT champ for quite a while, since being here in 2.0, being like the pretty like much the face of this division, and wrestles, even the way he looks and dresses, like wrestles like the, you know, the old school style, the Steiners, right? Like this old school style. And Diamond Mine obviously wrestled that way with the amateur background and all this and that. So instantly put together is something we've been waiting for and talking about. And the way they dressed and looked tonight, it's like, this is the unit here.
I'd have preferred the Creeds to have worn the more like colorful Bron Breakker Steiner style singlets instead of Bron doing, he did like the Creed singlet but kept his colorful knee pads. But it was cool. They had They're like towels on the way in. Creed's holding up a Bron Breakker towel and Bron holding up a Creed's towel. Yeah, I definitely want to see this these three together again.
I love this. Yeah, what was the group that the Steiners were called?
Varsity.
Oh, Club, yeah, sorry. We have the Varsity Blondes, I guess. But the Varsity Club for these guys is something I don't know. I know we love Roddy, but he's not been around. He's still injured or something. I don't know what the storyline is there, but honestly, these three, this could be like your next big group in the WWE. Honestly, the look of these guys, the way they wrestle, like I think over time they could be something. I enjoyed this pairing.
Yeah, me too.
Unfortunately, they were against three guys I didn't really care to see. Actually, you know what? Just one guy. I really don't know why he's here.
So the Creeds and Bron are waiting in the ring forever. And we get a commercial break and then an Ilya Dragunov promo, like a video promo saying, "Eyes are the window to the soul, but JD, you have no soul. You get happiness by inflicting anguish, snapping bones and breaking a man's spirit. You do this to find serenity, but you will never break my will." And he says what's his thing he says in Russian? He says that.
Yeah.
At the end. Yeah, good promo here. I imagine this is standard deliver match. I love Ilya's kind of very like Shakespearean delivery with his accent. They're very interesting promos.
Yeah, very different from a lot of other people in wrestling. So that's what stands out. But his wrestling also is the same. So he's got everything I enjoy. I hope that is the match. It clearly is. So far, this standard deliver. Looking pretty good. Let's just say that this is teasing that match. Okay, well, let's look at the card so far before this episode, before with other segments. That's pretty much the one match we know is happening until kind of.
Yeah. No, it's looking good.
Yeah.
And then we get a return of the NXT front row spot.
It's NXT Roadblock. And who's here in the front row? Who could it be?
It's Dragon Lee.
Yeah, no relation to Wes?
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah,
true. No, relation to Roosh and Dralistico, right?
Yeah, and Preston Vance.
And Preston Vance, yeah.
Dragon Lee getting the front row spot here.
Yeah, pretty cool.
To definitely throw a red herring in people's suggestions.
With his name?
Yeah, with the actual name, yeah. With a definite like red herring towards the Shawn Michaels segment later tonight. Kind of, you know, getting people, getting your thinking caps on of, hey, why would they show him? Will that come into play? But yeah, pretty cool. They used to do this, obviously, at every takeover, which we've joked and talked about. Like, hey, I think they did this to let you know he won't be doing this at Stand and Deliver because he'll be wrestling.
He'll be wrestling. Yeah. That's what I took from this.
Lee v. Lee.
Yeah, I thought this was a good idea to bring back.
Yeah.
And it interesting to see if there'll be signs, because rumor is they might be signing more kind of big independent names.
Who could be front row at Stand and Deliver?
Exactly.
Effie? Gringo Loco? Commander?
Gringo would be cool.
Yeah, who else is like, Mike Bailey, he's wrapped up right now in Impact and stuff. But yeah, who else is like floating around that?
Christian.
Yeah, in NXT, no, we know where he's going, and it's to hang out with his brother, Edge.
I think so, yeah. So then Indus Shear come out and we get to this match. The Creeds and Bron Breakker taking on Jinder Mahal and Indus Shear. There was a very impressive standing vertical suplex from Brutus to Jinder. Like Jinder's a big guy
Jacked.
To be hitting those two. Bron and Sanger are going at it and Bron sends Sanger out of the ring. And then there's an exploder from Julius to Veer. Again, these are big guys they're throwing around here. And then the Creeds and Bron hit... three tope con helos all at the same time.
Yeah, looked great.
As we go to commercial break, this looked awesome. After the break, we see Carmelo Hayes has joined the commentary booth. We get a camel clutch from Jinder to Julius, but Julius powers up and picks Jinder up. As the ref's distracted, he rakes Julius's eyes. And then Julius manages to make the tag to Brutus, who starts doing his kind of Brutus smash forearms, clubbing
Hulk
blows
smash,
on Veer. And then Veer hits this like high leaping vertical seated senton, which I thought looked pretty good, and kind of out of nowhere from the big man. And then there's a big deadlift suplex from Brutus to Sanger, followed by the moonsault from Bron and the 450 from Julius. Really like impressive from both guys here.
Yeah, and you mentioned Carmelo Hayes on commentary. I noticed something a bit different from Carmelo, where on commentary. He said, "Oh, whoa, that was that was impressive.
Yeah.
That was nuts. He's like, did you see that? Like, all these guys hitting all these moves? Like, okay. So I was like, huh, he's sounding a bit babyface here and putting over all three of these guys.
Yeah, and definitely did in the segment later. Bron then does this crazy, like, breakup, like a 2.9.
Yeah, the ref was stalling for sure. Yeah.
But it was pretty fun near fall. Then Sanger hits the choke slam. Veer hits the $1 million arm. And Julius kicks out. This has been what they've been using to finish them. And I think that's what they beat the Creeds with, wasn't it? And then all six men are staring each other down, start to brawl. Bron hits the spear to Jinder, a spear to Sanger. And Veer hits the big boot to Bron. But Julius grabs him and hits his like cartwheel Death Valley driver on Veer, which was nuts considering the size of this guy. And then there's the Doomsday Brutus Ball.
Yeah.
So Veer on top of Julius's shoulders as Brutus jumps with his cannonball off the top rope, knocking him down and picking up the win in a really entertaining six-man, I thought.
Yeah, put the Trios title on these guys right away. Diamond Mine and Bron Breakker versus House of Black. Book it. No, I thought this was pretty good. And I'm Jinder, someone who I just don't know why he's kind of here. The title match with Bron really didn't, the feud didn't really do anything for me, but I think he had his spot set in this match. Like, I think everyone in this thing was hitting all those things really good. And so impressive when you see these guys, Bron and Diamond Mine, like lifting, you know, Veer and Sanger up in different spots for pretty crazy looking moves.
It's what made this match really
fun, so it was all just like these guys hitting their stuff.
You know, when we saw in the like the very first time Brock like hit the F5 on Big Show or stuff like that. Like it's still pretty impressive when you see these guys lift over up big guys, and the whole match was that.
Again, really like the combination of Bron and the Creed brothers. Again, they look like a unit standing side by side, and I hope we get some sort of like an alliance like between these guys going forward, like depending on wherever NXT goes. Just, I think it really works, and would like to see these guys do this again.
I'd like to see them team too. I'm getting impressed by Sanger and Veer as well.
Yeah.
Jinder hasn't been hitting for me, but I think those two have definitely improved, and for big men are pretty athletic as well. So I thought this was a good showing from everyone here, really.
Yeah, I mean, Sanger was here. He was doing yoga. Sadly, he gave that gimmick to someone else we'll get to later on this show. And then Veer just kept coming and coming, and then he found out maybe he needs to stop doing that and just hang out with his old friend, and here they are teaming with Jinder. It's the best they've looked in
Where's Shanky?
Shanky, oh yeah.
That's how you get Roderick Strong involved. You're now four at Shanky.
On four.
It's going to be 4v3, and then Roddy comes back.
Wow.
And it's War Games.
Punjabi prison war games.
Yeah, let's do it. Sounds great.
Book it. No, Jinder was whatever, but I think Sanga and Veer are definitely some, like, they're good, solid big men for being big men. I definitely am a fan.
We see Albert Tensai Bloom.
We're not going through every name of this guy. No, not today. But yeah, Matt Bloom.
So yeah,
a train. A
giant Bernard is at the gorilla with Sean. Says, Sean, are you sure you want to do this? And Sean goes, no, I'm not sure. But I feel like I got to, right?
I know what I have to do.
I know what I have to do.
But I don't know if I have the strength to do it.
Like, I was thinking, I doubt Albert and Sean ever really had any, like,
dream match.
They were in the company at the same time, but was there ever a Shawn Michaels versus...
A-Train was definitely a SmackDown guy when Shawn was back on Raw, right? So, and then A-Train, like, disappeared not too, like, long into the early 2000s. So, like...
Yeah,
there must not have been a time where they wrestled. Unless, like, a Royal Rumble or something, but even that.
Yeah. If anyone could find a match between Albert and Shawn,
it'd be pretty sick, yeah.
So, we go to the Grayson Waller effect. Shawn Michaels comes to the ring to Sexy Boy. I was worried he was going to have a weird like NXT remix of it or something.
Get out of here. No, absolutely not. I'm happy that this song like transcends generations of wrestling fans, because now it's just NXT's Judas, where everyone's just singing all of it and continuing. I mean, we all know every single word. We all know every part of the solo. As wrestling fans, this is up there as one of the best ones. So anytime you get to hear it.
Sean's still doing a little bit of his dancing and
little bit
hip wiggling and stuff, but definitely does look like an old man doing it these days.
He looks a lot older. He's allowed. Yeah.
Lots of HBK chants here. The crowd starts singing Sexy Boy a cappella. Yeah, felt like a pretty big moment here, Sean coming out in front of the crowd.
Yeah, he's not really done this. It's been a lot of seeing him in little things, but not making it.
The
huge
last
entrance.
Time was to set up the ladder match, wasn't it? Between Jordan Devlin and Santos.
Yeah, his music just hits. Ring. His music hits. He does the Jeff Hardy Dugan. Hold on, I got to do my bit before I get down there. Anyways, you guys are having a ladder match. Yeah.
So Waller says that the young Grayson would be freaking out like these people right now. But current Grayson would say to that kid, one day you're going to be disappointed. Don't be a Sean guy. Be a Brett guy.
Waller said that. Yeah. I love this. You knew right, like to go there right away, which is Sean's rebuttal is like, oh man, we're going there already. Yeah. Like you're already bringing that up.
There are then HB Shizzle chants. And Sean asks what happened. We used to be cool. You used to come and ask me for advice. And I saw good stuff in you, but now you hate me. What's up with that? And Waller says, look, I should be the number one guy here. I want to be number one guy. My social media's through the roof. I've got everything. Who did I piss off? And you're holding me back just like Vince held you back.
Damn.
And says that, Vince would hold you back because you were like smaller or whatever. And you eventually broke through on your own. So he goes, what is it? Is it jealousy? Is it spite? Is it because I don't kiss your ass? Because I don't give you the clout of posing with you after a big match, kind of, showing those pictures, you know, the photos of Triple H and Hunter with the wrestlers when they win a match. He's like, is it because I don't ask you for photos? You are holding me back. And Sean says, look, you're not the first guy. No, I'm not holding you back. It's because you lost at Vengeance Day. He says, New Year's Evil was not your fault when the ropes went. So I gave you a fair rematch and that's what it was in a cage. And you lost. You took your shot and you missed. And Waller says the only reason you're sitting in Gorilla is because your best pal Hunter had a heart attack.
Boo.
Sean agrees. He says, I wasn't in charge. I stepped in because my friend needed me and you got to get a grip with the fact that I'm in charge. Triple H was running it here, but now I'm the one steering the ship. Waller says, yeah, steering it into an iceberg. And he says, I bet I'm not even on Stand and Deliver, and I wouldn't be even surprised if my name ends up on the cut list. You're looking for a star, and he's standing right in front of you. I am in it, NXT. And Sean tells him off for thinking he's bigger than the brand, and says, we aren't, NXT isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. And Sean lists all the success stories, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Io Shirai, Becky, Bayley, Charlotte, even mentions Undisputed Era, who never had a main roster call up.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. Waller calls him a hypocrite. He says, in your career, it was all about you. Who was the main event? Me. Who is the icon? Me. When did you change? Sean said, just come into NXT. It's so special here. I just had to change my ways.
I just
found God and I found NXT.
Found that black and gold and I've never looked back.
And Waller says, look, who's really going to move up from here? Bron, sure. Carmelo, probably. Zoe Stark, maybe. No one else. No one else has got it here. No one else is good. And he says he's sick of everyone. He's sick of this crowd who can't afford to wear new clothes. And this pisses off Sean. He says, I will not let you run this brand into the ground. And he says, it pisses me off. And Waller says, do something about it then. Face me. Ditch the Stooge suit. Wear the HBK cowboy hat. Tune up the band one more time. And face me at Stand and Deliver.
Fight me.
The crowd are going, what? Is this happening? And Sean says, for over a decade, people are trying to get me to have a WrestleMania dream match. And he says, I have trucks of money just coming to my door to try and get me to do a show. And so much that those drivers know my address now. What makes you special? What makes you think that I'd come out of retirement for you? You're the same as all these people. And the only difference is it's 2023. But nothing would please me more than beating your ass. But it's not going to be me. It's going to be this man.
This person who loves NXT more than anyone else. This person who definitely wants a little payback on you. Cue the shittiest version of Rebel Heart I've ever fucking heard in my life.
This is a second remix.
This is a re-remix. Am I going mad?
And it just, like, it, it's just noise. Because at least the first one, you have the claps, and you're like,
I don't know what this one is.
There's nothing. Horrible. So Johnny Gargano runs out.
Johnny Wrestling!
Beats up Grayson Waller, and
he goes for the super kick, but Grayson evades it.
Yeah. I thought, pretty good segment here, and I think pretty much anyone else, this crowd would be pissed.
Yeah. Because
this whole segment, you're teasing
Sean.
You're teasing Sean.
Yeah.
And I think Gargano's probably, like, the right one.
Oh,
like, everyone wants a Gargano at an NXT show, and I think him versus Waller will be a great match. The callback to Waller writing him off.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good, and this crowd didn't seem disappointed about it not being Sean.
No, they lost their minds. Yeah. The whole place erupted, probably the loudest they got all night. And they were pretty loud all night for a lot of other stuff,
yeah.
But they were really, like, you would have thought this was, like, huge comeback return or something, because they just were genuinely surprised. And we kind of figured it out a little while ago, yeah. Like, okay, well, Dragon Lee being in Sean corner doesn't really make sense. Will Sean come out? Will it just be like a super kick? So it's technically a match. It's not a match. And then we were like, hey, I mean, Waller's the one who sent Johnny packing.
Johnny's probably not got anything at WrestleMania.
Yeah, Gargano's not doing anything. Also, the storyline is like Shawn Michaels. And like, if you go on Twitter or Instagram, that's pretty much...
He wears the hearts on his gear and all that.
Yeah,
right?
And he's like friends with him now. So like... It does make sense if anyone would defend Sean's honor. It would be legit one of his friends. And, like, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, seeing our guy back. It's unfortunate he's not, at least the way it looks, involved at WrestleMania, which is pretty silly. But,
I mean, there's no story with him at the moment. I'm not particularly surprised. I don't like the idea of just putting matches for the sake of it. I mean, we have Brock and Omos, but...
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, this is a good... I take a proper, like, actual lengthy, meaningful singles match at Stand and Deliver with Johnny over maybe a six-minute nothing match at Mania.
So this is now official. Johnny Gargano and Waller one-on-one.
Great.
And it'll be good.
I think it'll be really good. I thought this segment was pretty good. I thought Waller sounded excellent. I think he's so comfortable. In actual fact, he kind of... outshone Sean at times. Sean got a little stumbly at times.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened. So, like, the beginning, the crowd were chanting and singing Sean's song, and I think Waller made the mistake of just starting the promo without letting that, like, breathe. But at the same time, you only got, like, so long. And then by the time he kind of just kept talking through, which must be so hard to do in any form of, like, public, you know, show or whatever, and he got through it, but then there's Sean... So I'm wondering if everything later in the night kind of got squished.
I think so. I think they didn't factor in the Sean pop.
And then Johnny coming out was a moment too.
So like this still felt a good quite segment. A long segment.
Still a good segment.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And it was good that they were able to get that extra time at the end and not sacrifice the end of the show, because the show definitely overran. We always get like the 6-7 minute overrun. This went about 11, 12, I think, for us.
So really this feud is... the Sean guy versus the Brett guy now.
I guess so.
Because he didn't wear it. He switched his shirt. Waller's shirt was very nice and sparkly. But beforehand, his social media and the things they were promoting is him walking with a cowboy hat and a Brett shirt.
Right.
He's like, here I am, ready to talk to Sean.
He did the Brett.
Yeah.
Like the metal plate. Didn't
true. Bronze. Yeah, true.
So, like,
yeah.
It's not a new thing, the Brett thing.
Because I'm already...
I love that Brett is the heel.
Yeah. That's so funny.
And it's Sean Wright in this shit.
So Waller... So Gargano's going to wear like HBK-inspired gear, and Waller's going to wear like black and pink.
Excellent.
Yeah, for sure.
That is funny though. Like, this is Sean and Road Dogg writing this, and they're like, what if the biggest heel in the company is a Brett fan?
Yeah.
Still getting their digs in.
Yeah, well, joke's on you, Road Dogg, because now I'm a Grayson Waller fan because of it. So yeah. Look at the way the world turns. No, I'm for this match. And I think Grayson Waller can shine.
I think so. And thank you, Robert Cowie in the chat, who says, never knew Davey was such a handsome man. Well, thank
Shout
you.
Out, handsome men.
I like that.
Oh, he says, love Braden too, of course.
Oh, I like that as well. Yeah.
That seems like, oh, you're all
he
right, too.
No, he already knew you were handsome. Right, he just didn't realize. I don't sound fair handsome,
enough.
Clearly.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you very much. We go to our next match. Gigi Dolin taking on JC Jane. The toxic breakup, this blood feud that's been going on, finally get to the match. It's a lot of like rolling around on the outside, attacking each other to start with. And then in the ring, Gigi goes for the pump kick. JC goes for the pump kick, which gets caught by Gigi into an STO. And now JC is backing off. She's asking for time out. So they go to the floor and JC hits her with the rolling elbow. JC then goes for a steel chair. And in the ring, Gigi catches her with an inside cradle for a near fall. Gigi starts delivering these stiff forearms and kicks. And then these two big roundhouses. But JC comes back with her neck breaker and a running senton. This was a little sloppy. It was meant to be a few like counters, and it was very kind of slow.
Running the ropes.
Slow motion running. And then Gigi hits this kind of crucifix bomb, almost like the page turner, with a bit of a pump handle.
Yeah, crucifix pin bomb thing.
And picking up the win clean over JC Jane.
Yeah, pretty quick match. It definitely didn't, when it started and the way they were wrestling, it didn't quite feel like the big blow off match.
No,
and you would assume with the attack right afterwards that we are going to some sort of a rematch, but this didn't necessarily hit for me too much.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It didn't get much time. Maybe this was cut short a little bit because of the last segment, but didn't feel like that blood feud really. There, apart from some of the like strikes, the kicks, the forearms were pretty stiff, but there was a lot of like quite slow, almost feeling rehearsed moments in the match that just I didn't think came across too well. And I do think obviously this continues because after the match, JC attacks Gigi and puts a chair around her neck and climbs the top rope miles away. Like, I don't know how she was planning on jumping this far.
Was she going to run it? She was going to run it.
She was stood. It looked like she was going to jump off, like, with a knee or whatever.
Trusting the hops
of JC Jane. But this is when all the officials run out and separate them and save Gigi Dolin from a neck break.
Which, again, makes me think they're going to go to a gimmick sort of match. I think some sort of unsanctioned or toxic.
Yeah, don't know if I want this at Stand and Deliver, though. I don't think it, like, when you look at the rest of the card that we think we're going to have, I don't think this necessarily deserves to be.
It's unfortunate because, like, I think the promos from them were actually pretty good.
Yeah,
especially
they were.
Like, even JC, I really thought it was good. But Gigi, too, like, got me invested. But I feel like, Were they cut for time that they had to go this route? I just don't think they should have done it here. I think you could have easily just had her beat her
do
up.
Do the big unsanctioned match with like proper time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of doing it this route, because I think that just affected what they had to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't really hit for me. We go backstage to Brooks Jensen with Fallon Henley.
Oh, boy.
And Fallon says, look, I feel awful for what happened. And Brooks says, you know what? It's okay. It all came from a good place. You were looking out for me. And I want to apologize for taking so long to get over it. And then they both say at the same time, oh, I'm glad you're all right. Oh,
jinx.
And
me and you watching this just looked at each other like, oh, my.
Yeah, a bit of chemistry going on.
And then they look at each other and then they look
away. It's like they're looking away. Oh, I can't believe it. Josh Briggs comes in. And he mentions the roses. He's like, wow, Brooks, like, those roses look pretty impressive. And Brooks doesn't say anything, but kind of gives this look like, what roses?
Yeah, I didn't do that.
And then they carry on, and Kiana calls Brooks's phone. So
Whoa.
Brooks is like, oh my God, it's Kiana. Like, well, answer it, you big dummy. So he answers it, and he tries to play it all cool. He's like, hey, girl, tonight? Yeah, that's chill. And you see,
that's chill. That's how you talk to the ladies. Yeah. I've seen it.
And you see Fallon, who's looking kind of pissed off and, I don't know, would you say jealous?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And then Brooks leaves. He's going off on his date. And Fallon says to Briggs, you know, he didn't send those roses. You saw that look on his face. And Josh goes, yo, I think you're right. I don't trust her. You were right all along. And they say, we've got to come up with a plan. Let's get our thinking caps on.
They said, and then she goes, I got an idea, but we don't know what that is until next week. But there's a lot to unpack here. My dynasty, Dallas soap opera shit continues with Fallon here being now being a little eyes, having eyes for Briggs. For Brooks.
We've said that this is where it could go, but it has been very platonic the whole time.
Until now.
And it's just been, it's more her distrust of Fallon, of Kiana, rather than like having a little sweet thing for Brooks. But this, there was definitely a bit of chemistry here there where maybe I think she might be falling for Brooks.
Damn.
Yeah.
Look at this guy. He's so chill.
So what's their plan going to be?
Their plan is she's going to go to Kiana.
Who the fuck for the roses from?
She's going to log into her Instagram and be like, oh, you're married.
She's married.
Case closed. Brooks. I keep getting their names confused. I don't know who's who.
I'm very invested.
Yeah, I love this. I love this stuff.
And they're actually all playing it pretty well.
They are really entertaining. So good on them for getting our attention. Loving it.
Bron Breakker then comes out, and Vic Joseph's like, "Whoa, this wasn't scheduled. He had a match earlier. What's happening?" And
then he says, "Well, this wasn't scheduled, and I know I had a match earlier." Yes, thank you.
And says, "But it's time. I could wait till next week, but I just want to get this over and done with. It's time for the biggest match at the biggest stage. So no more obstacles and no more roadblocks. Carmelo Hayes, where are you, man? Where you at? Come out." So Mello comes out.
They're doing the Goldberg Bron Breakker thing, but doing it with Mello to tease Bron.
And Mello says, "Bron Breakker, it is time. It's time for our paths to cross. Listen to this crowd. They want it, you want it, and I want it." And Bron basically says, "Yeah, we've been on our own paths," kind of alluding to the fact that they both held the different championships for the best part of this, like,
year
since the 2.0 rebrand.
Yeah.
You were doing your thing, I was doing mine. And during all this time, I kept tabs on you. Mello says, "I kept tabs on you too. It didn't matter if you were opening the show and I was closing or vice versa. I would always stick and watch your match whenever it was." And Bron says, "I remember that meeting we had with Shawn and Triple H when they said a change was about to come," kind of alluding to the rebrand from Black and Gold to 2.0. "And they said there was a change coming and we want to focus on you too. And they chose us to lead it. And I've proved myself for 18 months and you have too. We both run fast and we both run hard. And there's nowhere else to go except me and you." And Mello says, "This is where I normally say, that's all it is." And the crowd's saying, that's all it's going to be.
Again, like, I hope this catches on because this already is. He's got so many catchphrases and lines. He's so good at that. And he's not even on WWE TV yet. Like, he's not even on a main roster. And he's already got all these little trinkets to his character. So
he goes, "But that doesn't seem right today. So I'm going to keep it short and sweet. That NXT championship, put that on the line, and I'll see you at Stand and Deliver." And Carmelo Hayes has never been second to nobody. Bron says, "April 1st, we'll see." I liked this a lot. I like kind of positioning Mello more babyface here. I guess leaning in, I think they figure that Bron might be getting some booze and people are ready for a Mello run. So kind of moving him a bit more babyface, both guys respecting each other, and kind of cool talking about the meeting and the rebrand and all that, I thought.
Yeah, it sounded really real and genuine when they were he was discussing that part, and Mello was like, "Oh, I remember. I know what you're talking about. Like, yeah, okay, I know what you're saying. Like, I'm on the same page." And Mello not coming out with trick, not talking about booty meat. He's just straight up like, "Yo, it's me and you. We're the best." And I do think it's something that, kind of comparing like NXT to AEW, whatever, but AEW doesn't like do that with their champions where like, "Hold on, I'm the man here. Let me talk because I'm the man. I need to talk and get some."
Yeah.
They don't ever like do that. They just like, let's cut to someone backstage to then cut a promo on someone. And then later that person, it's like, why wouldn't the champ just be like, "Yo, everyone thinks it's this match. So let's just get this over with. I want to face you." And then it's like, yeah, let's do it.
We're the best. And they've done a great job actually keeping these guys completely separate the whole time, where they've built this up where this does feel like a big deal, these two finally meeting.
Now, is Melo going to continue playing? There's still a few weeks before this show. Is Melo going to continue to play this like straight-faced, like baby-faced, or is it a kind of thing where he will, like, you know, eventually attack Braun? Are we going to see them touch in any way, shape, or form? Like, how do you book it from going forward now?
I think you do keep him babyface, because I think the crowd are going to be behind him anyway.
Yeah.
You can do the stuff with Trick trying to be a bit
heelish. I see Braun versus Trick in the next week or two. Yeah,
you can have stuff like that. Melo kind of sending Trick to the back, maybe.
Yeah.
But no, I do see him keeping as babyface going forward.
I see Carmelo winning this match.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is him. Absolutely. This is the biggest NXT match for
this. This isn't dissimilar from, like, the Apollo Crews promos for Braun, but so much better, because this feels real.
Yeah.
Like, I believe it when he says, I've been keeping tabs on you. I don't believe Apollo Crews, when he was on SmackDown, was watching Braun Breaker matches.
Yeah.
You know, but I kind of believe it as this thing, like, these two guys kind of being sat down and being like, we see you as the future. And it's like, okay, I'm keeping my tabs on my, like, main opposition here and what's going on. I really liked it, and I think this match is going to be really good.
Yep, so there's our main event set for Stand and Deliver, which is Braun Breaker and him.
Him. Tyler Bate is, like, doing a meditation, cross-legged pose here with Thea Hale.
Tyler Bate got Sang as yoga gimmick.
Yeah.
He's chilling, doing yoga.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
Okay.
Because, so he's telling Thea to let go of any stress or tension. He's helping her meditate, and he goes, so how was that? She goes, I feel amazing. And Andre Chase and Duke Hudson are behind, and they're like, yeah, I've cured her. And Tyler says, with practice, she can get over all these things. Remember, nobody is beyond fear as people. We must move through fear. And Tyler Bate wishes Andre Chase good luck for his match. They both namaste each other.
Namaste.
And then Duke Hudson goes to Tyler Bate and says, I can't believe anyone is buying that snake oil you're selling. And Bate kind of gives a little, this is where I'm like, I don't know if it is a yoga gimmick, because he gives this smile, which is like, yeah, as in like, yeah, I'm talking a load of shit, but
yeah,
people are buying it.
So you're saying Tyler Bate's a heel yoga instructor?
He's a little...
what is going on?
He's a con man. That's his thing.
Or is he a stoner?
Chase Yu paid him to have this session. He's like, yeah, no, I'm a proper, like, meditation expert. And he's just talking out of his ass. That's what I took from this.
Andre Chase, Chase University paid him?
Oh, to cure fear.
So he has money to buy some actual fucking shoes then? Because here he is sitting cross-legged.
He's dressing the palm, right? Like, he's...
Now it's Florida.
He's like, oh, I'm doing my yoga gimmick. I'm doing my yoga con, so I'll put on my sandals.
Now, I know this is Florida, Winter Park, Florida, to be exact. I think I could be mistaken, but like, it's far enough away from a beach. And you know the rules. If you're not living near a beach, why are you wearing open toe shoes, especially when you're on TV? You know, I had a problem with that. Mm. So Tyler Bates slowly losing my...
We'll see him trying to sell a monorail next week, I think.
I think he's going to go with the yoga thing, because that kind of seems how he is in real life, like a super chilled out, like down to earth dude, maybe, you know, loves his bare feet on grass and stuff like that. So maybe that's something that they're just going to let him.
They've been doing the, you know, his vocabulary's been very whimsical and stuff.
Whimsical.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Russell Brand-esque.
Yeah.
Like some of the words.
So he's going to start streaming with Stevie Turner and start giving his right-wing opinions on, like, Ukraine and China and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Russell Brand character. They already did that with Adam Rose. It didn't work out in the end with him, but that was a different Russell Brand.
Russell Brand, yeah.
Look, Tyler Bate's great, but, like, this is what he's become now. It's like, ah, like...
But he's never been an interesting character to me.
He's a great wrestler.
Like, we know
always
his wrestling's good. Yeah. But, like, promo-wise and character-wise, he's never been interesting to me. So, fuck it. Why not?
Namaste.
Namaste.
Tyler Bate, you want to go to the main roster? Namaste.
Yeah.
Here in NXT.
Yeah. Andre Chase versus Joe Gacy. Gacy hits this big knee lift and then a brain buster on Chase, which looked pretty nice for only a two count. Chase fires back and hits the side Russian leg sweep and the Chase U stomps, followed by a side effect and a super kick. Gacy comes back with the Rock Bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely like falling down like just like the Rock here.
I was telling Rock you, someone tweeted Daniel Garcia with a clip of him from like Rampage or Dynamite where Garcia hits the Rock Bottom. Right. And someone went, "Hey, Daniel Garcia, love that you've been using the Rock Bottom. Do you have a name for this move yet?" And Daniel Garcia replied with, "The Rock Bottom." So yeah, love it.
Good. We shouldn't be just renaming every move, you know?
Yeah, something like that. Like a super kick. Okay, like it was a super kick before, but like the Rock Bottom, I'm sure the Uranagi or whatever is similar, but like no, it's called the Rock Bottom. Yeah.
There's a superplex from Chase for a two count, and then we see Thea Hale at ringside starts to do her meditation breathing.
Woosah.
Yeah, and then she runs over to Ava Rain and tells her, "I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you anymore.
I'm not afraid anymore.
I'm not afraid anymore." And then Andre Chase sees this and turns around and is like, "Oh, yeah, good for you.
You're not afraid anymore?"
High fives her, turns around and gets hit by the upside down, the handspring lariat from Joe Gacy for the win. And Thea Hale looks devastated. And I've got in my notes, Bruce. I think I meant Duke.
Duke.
Looks pissed.
You're thinking because Duke's Australian and Bruce the Shark from Finding Nemo's Australian.
Well, just any Aussie guy is Bruce. Bruce. It's Bruce and Sheila, right? So Duke is a Bruce, for
right?
Sure.
Yeah. It was a pretty funny moment when that happened, where she's trying to calm down and it's like, "I'm not afraid anymore." And he's more like, he lost the match, but he's more like happy that his friend is like not scared anymore,
not possessed or
whatever.
Or whatever it is. Yeah.
You know what? Like, I think something fell off. The line of like everything felt a bit rushed after that Sean segment, where I think these guys didn't get enough time either, so they were trying to squeeze everything in. This is a rarity where the match started during commercial, so when they came back we didn't get entrances or anything. They're just fighting. So I think, I know it's wrestling, I know it, I could sound silly, but like, think to any sport where it's like, imagine, anyway, so the period just started but we're like 3 minutes in. I get it, we were squished for time, but like, you showed like I felt like this match and the next match felt like they were going rushed through it on 1.5 speed, because they knew that they were like probably being told that, and that could like mess you up, I'm sure, in a groove that you're in as well. But something definitely fell off. Like, even the promo with Mello and Braun was not very long, so like something definitely was like,
I definitely think the Sean stuff took longer.
But they
fit a lot into
they
a,
did
a
yeah
match,
that right? Yes, like I have to say, like, Gacy and Chase, obviously with the silly gimmicks here in NXT, but we've seen these guys back in like Evolve days, and they were two guys who definitely know how to wrestle.
These were both in that breakout tournament as well, weren't
true
they?
yeah look, they both wrestle. We've been loving the Chase U storyline. We've kind of had the first glimpse of Duke like saying that to Tyler Bate earlier, being like, "Hey, you're lying to these people. That's what you're doing, Duke. We know that." I'm done with the schism guys, but I think this story continues, even though Thea's not scared anymore. But this was fun for what it was.
Yeah, I thought it was too. And we'll get back to Chase U in just a bit. We go to the witches, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, they're making a potion. The moon is full tonight. That's why our computer crapped out earlier. Full moon shit.
Oh, that's why some guy on the sidewalk just screamed at me today. Yeah. Full moon tonight. Yeah, gotcha. They say, she says, what I did understand from this promo, they did say it's a full moon ritual. And like you said, they're like mixing up witch stuff. And she's got this like witch makeup thing. I think they look the part. I buy the part.
Yeah, I buy that the witches.
Yeah.
They will perform a full moon ritual, on one of the longest reigning champs, tag champs, but now they struggle to be bound together, talking about Kaden and Katana. And they say, "Has there ever been true harmony with Tatum and Ivy?" And you are as, Alba calls Isla cunning, and together they are unrivaled. And next week they're going to dance into the moonlight and claim their lot, I think. They're talking a lot of witchy things. But
talking a lot of witchy things with thick accents.
So they're calling out, I feel maybe it's more likely the women's tag is going to be a four-way, because they called out the champions, Kane and Katana and Ivy and Tatum. So I see it being,
well, that's three teams. Where's the four?
Well, Alba and Ivy, Kiana and Tatum, Ivy and, sorry, Kiana and Fallon.
Oh,
Tatum
right,
and
right,
Ivy
right.
And
sorry.
Katana.
Yeah. Yeah.
All these names, jeez.
Katana, Tatum, Fallon,
Kiana.
At least Isla Dawn and Alba Fire, I'm going to remember because, I mean, yeah, I mean, they're all right, I guess. Yeah. But I'm happy that these two are kind of put together, and I would actually put the titles on the witches.
Okay.
I know it's such a, it feels like such a, like, silly character that's been used in media and pop culture, but like, yeah, no one's doing it right now. So on this show, right? So
I'm
like,
surprised we haven't had a witch yeah, in WWE.
Exactly. So it's like, hey,
have there been?
There's a market for that. As silly as that sounds, like merch is how they make a lot of their money. So
a cool witch
merch,
entrance.
Yeah. Like I see it.
Halloween Havoc.
Isla Dawn looks the part.
Needs to come to the ring on brooms.
Like yeah. At Stand and Deliver, it's Hollywood. Do like a Bewitched, like fucking...
They need a third witch, though, don't they? Really?
That's how you get them to win. So Tatum turns and joins them. Oh, sorry, Blair Davenport. She's still missing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
She should show up and help them win.
Yeah.
And cast some boil,
she's,
toil and
she
trouble.
She could be a witch whatever. As well.
Exactly. Like we could that. All be witches. Why not? Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I like that.
Yeah, look, witches in wrestling, don't hate me. I love it. So...
So,
future champs.
Yeah. Will they get a warlock as well?
No. Now you're talking talking reckless.
So, we see Chase Yu backstage, and Thea Hale apologizes to Andre Chase for him losing, but says, I conquered my fear. I conquered my fear, and that's great. And Chase isn't mad. He says, you're right, and I should bring in Tyler more often because he really helped you there. And Duke Hudson's pissed. He's pissed because we keep losing. Why are you happy? Why are you high-fiving? We are an institution of losers. We gave someone an award for winning one match. We are pathetic. We are not a university. We are a bloody joke.
Damn.
And he storms off. So, like, you could see this as, like, Duke kind of is acting heelish, but he's doing it out of love of the university, yeah. Right? He's like, I believe in these lessons you've been teaching me, Professor Chase, but you keep losing and you don't care about it. You're doing, like, we're having this immature student fuck things up for us. I remember when Chase, you used to have standards.
I used to have trivia nights.
Yeah.
At a fake university.
Yeah.
And now
we're just a joke. We're a group of losers.
We're a comedy act now.
So I wonder if he is heel. I think he's like, look, I don't want to lose, but... I don't like what Chase Yu's become.
Nothing's worked with me before this, and I can't afford to lose this.
Exactly.
Like, shot in the dark here, but like the four-way match for the women's tag titles, right, is what we're suspecting. The same should be said for the tag men's, and that's where you put these two back in that and fill that slot. So it's pretty deadly. Wait, did we just do that match? They just did that.
Like we just
and they didn't
match.
Win that match when they clearly should have won that match because now they're like, what are we doing?
Yeah, we did just have the four.
None of these characters are going to be on Stand and Deliver. So
no.
I don't think we're seeing any kind of resolution to this storyline maybe anytime soon. But
we'll have some Chase Yu backstage thing at Stand and Deliver.
Yeah, they'll be in the crowd.
But yeah, I'm still, where's this going? Yeah. Like, I think Chase needs to open his eyes and maybe next week be like, Duke, you know, you were right.
Yeah.
You make some good points.
And then challenge Gallus to a match.
Cool, sure.
Book it.
Wesley is backstage with Mackenzie Mitchell saying that everyone is buzzing about these open challenges I've been doing.
Everyone.
He talks about how great it was last week when everyone was brawling over who's going to fight me. And Nathan Fraser emerged and gave me one hell of a match. And we got to love the commotion, so I want to do it again next week. This is when Axiom walks in and he says, can't you see the fire in my eyes? Haha, yes, this joke.
It's still going, yeah.
He said, Nathan beat me to it last week, but next week, Axiom says, I want it to be me versus you for the title. And Wes agrees, so Axiom Wes Lee.
He didn't agree.
He said, if you're the first one to the ring, right?
Yeah, which I heard you last week. Clearly, someone listened and someone sent on something that we said, because I feel like it was only a few weeks ago,
like
when
2-3 weeks
we were joking about, like, why wouldn't you just show people, like, fighting and arguing who's going to take that spot? And then they literally did that, that thing. So that's pretty interesting and pretty funny. But he made it clear, like, well, if you beat the line, you can get
it.
Which I think he does. I think it's still...
Unless that is, if you're not going with Dragon Lee... you kind of have Axiom keep on trying to get this open challenge and someone always beats him to it.
If
and then you do Axiom
wrestling. If Dragon Lee's not wrestling at the Stand Deliver, which like, hey, it should be someone who has been working a lot, and Axiom is awesome and that match would be great. But hey, if they're giving it to us next week, then
I feel like we're getting this next
week. So it's Von Wagner versus Wesley next
week. No, but that sounds great. That's gonna be pretty cool. Johnny Gargano is gonna be on NXT next week talking. Yes. To hype up this match with Grayson Waller.
You get to hear Rebel Heart again.
Yeah.
The Rebel Heartbreak Kid is going to be his tights, for sure.
Rebel Heartbreak Kid, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we'll wear the long pants. He'll come out in the chaps. And
well,
everything.
It's Hollywood, so he'll wear something to do with Marvel and stuff as well, right? So
we finished the show with the NXT Women's Championship match, Mako Satomura challenging Roxanne Perez. And
the code of honor.
Code of honor. They say that Mako's been wrestling since 1995.
Did you know she was on Nitro?
She was on Nitro. She probably shared she was probably on the same show as Booker.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, which is cool.
Booker doesn't know who's on this show sometimes.
No. But Vic says that we're going to stick with this match until it ends. So kind of teasing we might go run a bit long.
And they did,
And they did. So Mako starts by just doing a bunch of pin attempts, and Roxanne fires back with some forearms. Satomura stops her with this spin kick to the stomach and then applies this like cross-armed surfboard stretch.
Yeah.
Looked really nice from Mako. And Roxanne manages to counter that into one of her own and hits a spinning head scissors, taking Mako out to the outside. Roxanne goes for a tope suicida, but gets stopped short with a forearm to the face, and then Mako's applying these kind of leg and ankle submissions, knee bars, kicks to the legs. And then Mako just starts lighting up Roxy with these slaps to the face and a running forearm. But Roxanne screams, starts fighting back with double chops of her own and forearms of her own. And Mako just delivers this huge kick to the chest.
Oh.
And Roxanne just keeps saying, bring it on, give me more, give me more. Roxanne catches her with a dragon screw, hits her running European uppercuts in the corner. Satomura goes for the Scorpio Rising, but Perez dodges it and then lands the tope suicida. And now Roxanne is teasing a like avalanche side Russian leg sweep.
Yeah.
Which gets blocked by Satomura. So Roxanne goes for the sunset bomb, but Mako is still holding onto the ropes. And Satomura just delivers this nasty kick to like back kick to the stomach, just knocking Roxy down.
All these kicks are crazy.
Then Satomura goes for her splash, but Roxanne gets the knees up. So Roxanne's delivering kicks of her own, hits the side Russian leg sweep, but Mako kicks out. And then there's a crucifix from Mako, but Perez kicks out. And then a Pele kick from Satomura, a Saito suplex, and Perez kicks out. Some great near falls. And the way Satomura was just beating Roxanne, kind of, I was thinking, oh, they could just cause this massive upset here.
Yeah, I mean, she hits her with like three of these like Saito suplexes.
Yeah,
they were nuts.
Hits the Death Valley Driver and then the Scorpio Rising, but Roxanne kicks out.
Is this the like handspring thing?
This is the handspring knees, just clocking her on the back of the neck.
Yeah, this looked nasty and like might be what they call later is what causes an angle. I don't know. This looks so scary of her. I've never seen it not look this way. So I don't know how. There's a reason no one else can really does this move. It looks like if you fuck this up, it could hurt somebody. Yeah. It's a flying backwards knee. You can't see what you're doing.
So now they're fighting on the floor and Roxanne goes for the pop rocks on the floor, but Satomura holds onto the apron, which means Rox just like hits his back bump, banging her head on the floor there, allowing Mako to hit her with her step-up axe kick to the back of the head.
Again, like this move is an axe kick where she's to the back of the head and Roxy's selling it great.
Rolls Perez into the ring, gets the one, the two, but Perez gets her foot on the bottom rope. Mako then starts lighting her up with Kawada kicks, and out of nowhere, Perez catches Mako with a roll-up and trapping her arms down, pinning her to pick up the like flash win at the end here.
Yeah,
before the angle. Yeah, let's talk about the match.
Yeah, kind of reiterating what I said, I did feel like there was still a bit of a rush to the match where, like, it got the overtime, but the match started, like, at 10. Mm. So, like, maybe a few minutes before or so. So, like, it did still feel like they were trying to hustle to get to each spot. But that being said, like, it definitely – it didn't deliver of, like, a takeover level, because I think now after watching this and the angle that we pull it back and you do it one more time, because – she kicked the crap out of Roxanne. I know, like, classic WWE trope, but I felt like Roxanne didn't really get much offense in on this match. I think the pin was, like, the one move she, like, really did. Maybe that side Russian leg sweep, but, like, the whole move, the whole match was Satomura just lighting her up, and it was great. Like, she was a great ragdoll for her to do. But then going into the angle where it also took up, like, another 5 minutes of the show here where She does stand up at the end.
So, yeah. So, Roxanne then stands up and celebrates and then stumbles and falls. And Satomura looks really concerned and kind of asks for help. You get the referee checking on her. More referees come in. They call for the EMTs. Booker takes off his headset and goes over to check on her. And then the EMTs eventually come out with a stretcher. Shawn Michaels is out there checking on her as they wheel her to the back and kind of the crowd like clap her off and they're putting oxygen on her. This was like it was done very well because I was kind of buying it at times. Then I'm thinking, hang on, they'd have just cut the cameras.
Yeah. At the end of the show,
if there was something bad that like actually happened, they'd have cut the cameras. And then looking at it, it looks like it's a replay of an angle that Shawn Michaels did with Owen Hart.
It's exactly. Some people have already put the clip of them together. And even the way she falls is the exact same way that Shawn fell at that.
Which is great.
Yeah, clearly another Shawn Michaels angle. But Shawn Michaels comes out. They put her on a stretcher. Mm. Shawn's checking on her. All the refs and everyone's there. And then they leave the arena. So, like, yeah, she retained the title, but, like, did she like?
So this, I really liked the match, and I didn't actually feel shortchanged. It didn't have the longest time. You're right, but I thought they fitted in so much, and I loved the story they told with Roxanne just, you know, trying to hang with Mako, and I liked it that she didn't get much in, but it was basically she was able to withstand. It was kind of like the Ilya treatment where it's just like you'll beat me down, I'm gonna keep getting up because I'm a fighter. I thought it worked really well. And yeah, the angle at the end, I felt a little sick as it was happening. Cause I was worried, like genuinely worried for a second.
Yeah.
And like, these things always cause a bit of debate with fans.
Look, it's wrestling. It's always supposed to be that way. But like, there's always like, oh, is it real? Is it not? Mm. But like in today's age, like things do go bad. Like a few times a year, often enough that we've
both separately been at shows where things
people
have happened.
Absolutely. I've seen terrible things happen at wrestling shows. We've seen things happen in TV in just the last like few months. Mm. And it always is weird that you're going to go this route. Like clearly the connection with that old Shawn Michaels angle where she just collapses. And I see that they purposely tried to do it exactly like that. Yeah. So it's like, okay, cool. Like other ways you could have just had that. She collapses and then like, is selling that her head hurts. Not like she's getting put on a stretcher, but sell it like, whoa, is she okay? Like she could not even stand after this match. Like she barely made it out of this match. Is that the route they're going? Because I would like to see this match redone at Stand and Deliver.
So it's very odd that you're having both Tiffany and
Bird Lady
kind of call out the winner here.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you'd have done this angle if you were just going in that direction. It feels, this to me feels kind of like we've had with recently with Hangman and Moxley.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, man, like, okay, you got the victory there, but like, did you?
Yeah.
Like, cause you beat the shit out
of
me.
So is that the route?
Like, like, you know, the second Undertaker Triple H Mania match where Triple H lost, but it was Undertaker being stretchered out at the end.
Right.
So that kind of set up their Hell in a Cell the next week. I would love them to go just back to this.
Yeah, please do. And I think Mako should crush Bird Lady and crush Legally Blonde 2 weeks separately and then be like, nah, I want the match.
I got the match. The rubber match.
This time you're
they're
not.
They're tied a piece now. You caught me with a roll up and
that's
I was
not
the
a
one
champion.
That will, Yeah. I was the one that walked out. That
Turn
night.
Her a little heel. Be like, do exactly.
She was getting some.
What did Hangman say in that promo just last week leading up to the pay-per-view this weekend where he says, like, you want the feud to end on a roll-up? Like, you want, yeah. you want to be the, so Mako could say, you want to be the champion that wins by.
She was definitely like baby face at the end here with yeah. her concerned look. But in the match, I was getting, you know, those Moxley vibes, you know, when Moxley's getting a bit too violent and the crowd are like, whoa, chill and start booing him a bit. Like Mako got a few boos here when she was just delivering those devastating kicks.
Mako is so good.
She's fantastic.
We did a match, a pay-per-view, a podcast with Karen Peterson just a while ago. It is on our free Poison Rana feed now, where we looked back at the best matches of Io Shirai, and we looked back at Io versus Mako from like Stardom or Sendai. I mean, it was so good, and like Mako versus anyone on the main roster that are some big names, like Charlotte, like your Becky's, hell, Trish and Lita are around, like, do it now. Like, just do all the video game dream matches. And if people aren't familiar with her, like, you know, some of us were just a few years ago, they will, because she's just awesome. She is so crazy. Some of those kicks, she could mess up half the dudes on the roster. Absolutely. No
I agree.
Question.
I'd love to see her move.
She
up
is so
after
good.
Mania.
And yeah, just do it. Like, do the EO match. Do any matches you want. Like, there's so many dream ones. Unfortunately, Mercedes is just the one we're not going to get, but that would
For
be
now.
Good.
For now.
Man. Yeah. Mako Satomura, like, has become one of my all time favorites to watch. And so happy that she is on this show because we got to cover it. But now, doing this angle and this little wet whistle of like, no, do the match again. Give him 20 minutes this time.
Yeah, I completely agree. I want this to be the takeover match. I'm a big fan of Tiffany Stratton. I think absolutely she's the one who maybe eventually takes it from Roxanne in a few months' time and has her run. But I feel like this is the bigger match for the big show.
Yeah.
And it would be a nice maybe send off for Satomura as well. Overall, I actually really enjoyed this show this week. I thought the main event was excellent stuff. I enjoyed the Grayson Waller effect with Sean and Gargano. Hell, the Jailhouse Street fight was pretty fun, and I'm into the Briggs and Jensen and Chase U stuff. So I agree with you about the rushed parts, especially with kind of the Toxic Attraction match, which maybe could have done just being cut completely and have that main event a TV, if you're not putting it on the pay-per-view, have it main event and give it a bit more time. But I was for this. And I think Standard Deliver looks to be their best show they've done for a long time.
Absolutely. It looks stacked. I mean, just kind of predicting some of the other matches. Right now, only two are, I think, officially announced, which is Braun and Melo and Gargano and Waller. I mean, clearly we're going to
JD and Ilya,
which already that's a stacked card. Those three matches.
Wesley Dragon Lee,
the Lee versus Lee dream match.
Satomura versus
Rocks. Plus a women's tag.
Do a women's tag maybe on the pre.
Maybe GG and JC is added in there somewhere.
I mean, you've got 5-6 matches there.
But honestly, that is a stacked card.
I think it looks great. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it this year.
You know what? I enjoyed this episode too. It still had some NXT hiccups that are always there, but like there was some fun stuff. I joked that, you know, the Jailhouse Rock match and stuff, but like that's what I like about wrestling too, as much as, you know, I love the wrestling, and I definitely got some wrestling when it came to that 6-man match and when it came to the main event. But I enjoyed this episode, and it got me hyped for like next week and kind of leading into now promoting the build for some of these big matches. But yeah, Stand and Deliver is going to be pretty hype. I'm excited for it.
Got quite a bit of feedback this week as well.
We do.
So quite a few watching the show this week.
Hey, join in on the Poison Rana Facebook group. There's a page you can like, but follow to the group because we post up every Tuesday night and we'll read your feedback here. But we also share memes and fun little stuff in that group. But we are on Facebook if that's something you still follow. But that's where I'll also remind you, I know you have Instagram, so go follow at Poison Rana Pod on Instagram because we have like 200 people. And I know there's more
thousands of you out there.
Millions. Yeah. And millions. But let's go to some feedback here from some of you guys, our up next listeners, from Andrew McDonald, who writes in.
Shout out Andrew, who's bought tickets for the WrestleMania watch party coming all the way over from Cape Breton to watch
Holy
WrestleMania
crap.
With us.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You're going to bring some, what do they drink in Cape Breton? Some,
I know he likes his polar ice.
Don't bring it. Do not for the, bring Screech. What else, what do they have over there? They got some funky stuff in Cape Breton. Cape Cods. I don't know. What do you got? Andrew McDonald writes in, I love how recent angles have been Shawn Michaels' greatest hits. First, we had JC and Gigi repeat the barbershop window angle. And now we have Roxanne collapsing just like Shawn did after he was hit with an enziguri by Owen on Raw. Okay, that's
what about the barbershop one.
Right, yeah. Both angles I remember from my childhood, but hopefully someone doesn't lose their smile in the coming weeks. Yeah, so
that's
what's
happening to Roxy.
Yeah, yeah.
She's going to lose her smile.
She got kicked in the head by Mako that she's going to become more aggressive. Mm. Yeah. Andrew continues here. Maybe an old veteran will come in and the person they're wrestling will oversell their offense. Another country's flag is going up somebody else's nose. I can feel it.
Yeah, so let's just do all of Shawn Michaels' career with...
Yeah, with Rocks. With this, everyone.
This cast of characters.
Yeah, what else do you want
You've
to see?
You've got Bret and Shawn happening with Waller and Gargano, haven't you?
Yeah, true. What else? What other greatest Shawn Michaels' greatest hits would you like to see?
He's... Someone's got to partner God.
Yeah, someone's got a team with God, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's got to kick Stan. Something got to happen there. Can't remember what else Sean's done. He's kind of done a few things, though.
He's done a few.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew.
We go to Ethan, who says, good episode tonight. Opener and main event was good. Next week and Stan and Deliver look good as well. Name idea for Braden and Davey's least favorite wrestler on the Bat brand, Mark Coffey.
He must be listening live right now.
says, the coffee trip, the coffee run, the coffee shop, or you're a Mark. All right.
Coffee. Why the coffee trip? Do you mean the coffee drip?
No, I think coffee trip is in...
Coffee trip.
Going on a trip to get a coffee.
Oh, okay. The coffee drop. What did we say? I swear someone asked us if it was not just Ethan asking us about the coffee names. Mark Coffey is my favorite wrestler in the world now.
Yeah, he's great.
The Iron Man. Wait, is that the other
one? Just behind Joe. Joe Coffey's.
Joe's the Iron Man one. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Ethan.
Do you want to continue?
Yeah, sure. Frank writes in, really enjoyable roadblock with a couple of strong matches opening and closing the show. Dijak and Tony D was a really physical fight, and Rox Mako was a hard-hitting struggle, which led into the ending. And the six-man was pretty action-packed as well. Good job of hyping up and making official some big matches for LA with Braun and Mello and Waller and Johnny in the revenge match. Poor Brooks. I think Fallon has a crush on him, though. What's with oxygen masks in wrestling? Oh, yeah. They put Roxy in an oxygen masks. She's going to bring the tank to Stand and Deliver.
Use it against the win. Mako. Yeah.
Let's go. Iron Man. 30-minute Iron Woman match.
I'd love that. Yeah. Sounds great. We go to Magan, who says, a strong bridge to Stand and Deliver. Bron versus Mello is set. The Gallus Pretty Deadly segment didn't do much to put either heel team in a babyface light. Dijak D'Angelo was a fun, hardcore-style street fight. Six-man was good. I wasn't expecting an actual finish for GGJC, but at least it's heading to LA. The main event was strong, and the post-match with Roxanne Perez was pretty jarring with the stretcher job until it clicked that it was reminiscent of Sean Owen from 95, the Syracuse incident. Roxanne needs adversity to overcome beyond the dream chaser to champion character, and I bet she'll be an even better performer because of it. Lastly, the Waller HBK promo was strong. I said this 2 weeks ago that while Dragon Lee did appear tonight, joining wrestling set up to get his payback on the arrogant Aussie. I guess I got that one right.
Yeah, I think we were talking about it a few weeks ago that it would make, if Sean's not just super kicking him in the match as like the match, it's going to be probably Johnny that would make sense. And yeah, it seems that's the way they go. Nostradamus here, Magan, seeing the future.
Yeah.
We go to Sean, who writes in, good show tonight. Though not as good as last week. We got a good physical opener from Tony and Dijak, but where do they go from here? The six-man had some fun moments, but I'm ready for the Creeds to move on from Indus Sheer. Speaking of moving on, Braun and Mello did a good job on the mic setting up their match. I was surprised Gigi got a clean win, but the post-match attack from JC signals it isn't over. That said, I thought Gigi looked a step slow tonight. She needs to step up before Stand and Deliver. Loved NXT connecting the dots and bringing Johnny back to face Waller on behalf of his idol for the revenge. The main event tonight was great. I particularly liked that it went past the usual 8-minute overrun and that Roxanne took a beating from a legend but survived. It strengthens her tough, scrappy baby face, bonifies her. As for the post-match angle, I thought it I thought it sold the beating Roxanne took from Mako, which further sold how hard she has to fight to overcome and win. It also gives Roxanne an obstacle to overcome to face her next opponent and a possible weakness for that opponent to exploit. Good stuff. On to Stand and Deliver.
Yeah. Whew,
thank you, Sean.
But yeah, you seem to agree with us. Like, yeah, solid show this week.
Solid show. Certain things definitely hit tonight. Nothing really like stunk up the joint, but there are still some questions involving maybe the tag title, if that will be on the show. And
yeah,
stuff
that's
like
probably
that.
The weakest thing right now, the men's tag, yeah. I think.
But yeah, that was what you guys thought. That's what we thought. That was next. We are up next. Thanks for listening to us. We will be back this Sunday for a new Poison Rana, chatting everything that's going on. Some Raw, some SmackDown, some Dynamite. Will Jon Moxley go fishing? Survey says no, because he's got a match tomorrow night on Dynamite.
Who's he facing?
Him and Claudio versus Silver and Reynolds. So,
all right, okay.
And I'm sure there's some other stuff that's announced
then
as well.
Then can he go fishing?
Probably not.
Never.
Yeah. He'll just cut himself with the hooks.
I mean, he only works once a week, so
yeah.
You can go fishing on like, how long does fishing take?
I don't know. How long does it take for wounds on your face to heal?
Yeah. Well, salt water is good for that.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
But salt water fishing.
Yeah. Let's go.
All right.
Let's do it.
Now?
No.
We going out?
No. Although near our house, people have caught big fish. I don't know if you've seen
people
that.
People are falling in as well. I'd be careful.
Yeah,
it's windy out there.
People are getting stabbed a lot too, so also be careful. Anyways, thanks for listening. Thanks, guys, for listening to us. PoisonRana.ca for all the links to all our stuff, our podcasts on our free feed, our podcasts on our Patreon. We do so many other things. Go check us all out. Join the socials, Twitter, Instagram, at PoisonRanaPod. And we hope to see you for WrestleMania weekend. And postwrestling.com for everything involving John Away, including, I think, if you're a member of their Patreon, you can see their Road Diaries video, which I've seen the clip of it, and I can't wait to watch it. So all the stuff on postwrestling.com, of course, with John Away and all the updates of all the stuff of wrestling. But thank you guys for listening. And I myself, Brayden Harrington, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, at the Bray. D.
And I am at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And namaste.
Ahoy!